Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be able to share with you this morning, and a special welcome to you if you're worshipping with us or and you're new to Stirling Baptist. We as a church are currently exploring the topic of prayer in Sunday services and in our small groups through the week, as well as through our online youth and children's small groups and resources. There are lots of ways that you can get involved in this series. For those of us that receive the weekly email from the church, you'll see information about how you can watch the prayer course videos at home each week. Also, how you can get this free app called Lectico 365, which is an app that helps with our quiet times and our daily devotions and helps each of us to work through that same prayer course material. Not only that, but tonight there is a prayer meeting happening at 7:30. We're hosting an online church-wide prayer meeting. And you're very welcome to that. If you'd like more information about any of those things, then please just feel free to get in touch with us. At the end of the service, you'll see information about how to get in touch with us on your screens and below in the description of this video. But we're not the only ones who are taking a special interest in prayer at the moment. There's been one particular internet trend that's been very interesting to see. Prayer as a topic has become more and more focused upon and researched online over the last 2 months than at any point since the creation of the internet. Someone called Jeanette Sinding-Betson, she's an associate professor at the University of Copenhagen. She has done a piece of work, she's done a study looking at the words that have been typed into Google over the last 2 months. She's taken data from 75 different countries, and she's found that the word prayer has surged in popularity in step with the pandemic. Seeking information about prayer on Google has skyrocketed since COVID-19 went global. People asking online, how do I pray? When should I pray? Am I able to pray? To whom should I pray? She's found that the amount that prayer is Googled in each country rises by an average of 25% for every 20,000 cases of COVID that are reported. So the amount of people searching online about prayer, it doubles for every 80,000 new registered cases. At this time of uncertainty, our world is asking the question that Jesus' disciples asked him: how do we pray? People have been responding to the current uncertainty and fear in what I believe is a very natural way, a way that's built into us, to cry out to God about our situation, about our future, asking God, will you hear us? God, will you protect us? God, will you provide for us? Another large study that was commissioned by Tear Fund back before the pandemic in 2018, and it was focused particularly on the prayer life of the UK specifically. And it was an interesting read. It found that 51% of the adult UK population pray at least sometimes. So half of the people that we pass each day, half of the people that we talk to at work, half of the people who live on our street, they pray. Very interestingly, the study found that a fifth of those who consider themselves to be atheists or having no faith at all, a fifth of them admitted that they also pray when in times of need. And that really struck me. A questionnaire asks them, do you believe in God? And they say, no. And then 2 minutes later, the same questionnaire asks them, in times of need, do you pray to God? And they answer, yes. It reminded me of a well-known C.S. Lewis quote. C.S. Lewis famously said, if I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, wouldn't it be fair to kind of build on that line of thinking? If I find in myself in times of need, if I find myself crying out to a God that I say I don't even believe in, doesn't that show us something? Doesn't that show us that I was made to know a God that cares? Doesn't that show us that I was made to know a God who provides? On Sunday mornings, we are particularly focusing on the Lord's Prayer just now, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Last week, we were focusing on the opening line, which refers to God as our Father. We were exploring how each of us is designed to know that God, not just as a distant concept, but to know God closely, as a Father who cares for and protects and provides for his children. This week, we are focusing on another part of the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. This is petitionary prayer, where we ask God for what we need. But importantly, as we look at this idea of give us this day our daily bread, we're not going to leave what we discussed last week behind. We're going to look at petitionary prayer through the lens of coming to our Heavenly Father, primarily because that's what Christ does. See, if we keep reading, just after he has taught his disciples to pray, we see how Jesus expands on the theme of petitionary prayer and links it with the Father heart of God. Matthew 7, starting from verse 7, he says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?" We can look at the assurance with which Jesus speaks in verse 8. He says, "You will receive, you will find, it will be opened." There doesn't seem to be any doubt in Christ's mind that his followers will be heard by their Heavenly Father. Another of the interesting statistics that from the 2018 Tear Fund study was that only 49% of those who do pray in the UK, only 49% of them actually believe that God hears their prayers. That means that just over half are unsure or are doubtful that God hears them. So we have many people in our nation have this instinctive desire to cry out to the God of the universe for help, but they have no idea if anyone is listening. Jesus says, when you become a follower of him, when you become a child of God, you can be sure that he hears you. Our Old Testament reading makes that so clear. It says God is like a nursing mother. It asks, would a nursing mother forget her child? Even if she would, I will not forget you. See, this is how dependent we are, like a baby depending on her mother. That is how much your Heavenly Father cares and listens to you. I was thinking about Rob and Lisa. Rob and Lisa both work for our church and come along to our church. They have just had a baby who was born on Easter Sunday. I was imagining what it must be like in their home just now. You can imagine baby Ada sleeping in her cot, but suddenly she needs something. Maybe she's hungry, maybe she's cold. And just as we, in times of need, cry out in prayer, baby Ada just naturally, instinctively cries out. And as far as she can see, at that moment, she's completely alone in her room. And she is totally without help. But she doesn't understand yet that as she cries out, there's this wee baby monitor that is in her room probably. And for each cry and for each cough and for each moan, in another part of the house, somewhere there'll be Rob with the other end of that monitor. If you're worshiping with us and you don't know Rob, I don't know how to describe him, but I doubt that he's ever been described as laid back or distant or inattentive. I can just imagine him, maybe he's watching a film and Ada cries out and suddenly he switched off the film. I think my child is crying out to me. Maybe he's on the phone with someone and Ada cries and suddenly he just hangs up. I think my child needs something from me. That's what Christ says here in this passage. You will be heard by your heavenly Father. This idea of baby monitors is a concept that was built on by a Bible teacher called Andy Croft. A lot of our young people who come to our church, they'll know Andy Croft through Soul Survivor, a festival that they go to in the summer. Last week, I heard Andy Croft do a short study on Revelation chapter 8, and there was something I'd never noticed before. Through the book of Revelation, the throne room of God is described, and it's described as this vibrant, active, and pretty noisy place. Surrounding the throne of God, you have four living creatures, and they're singing, "Holy, holy, holy." You have 24 elders on thrones, and they're throwing down their crowns on the ground and shouting about how worthy God is. You have 10,000 times 10,000 angels. That's 1,000,000 angels worshiping God. You have every living creature proclaiming in their own way the praise of God. Plus there's thunder roaring. Plus there's trumpets being blown. The throne room of God is a noisy place. But then we get this insight into what happens when we pray. It's in Revelation chapter 8. It says this. It says, "When the Lamb broke the seventh seal on the scroll, there was silence throughout heaven for about half an hour." And then it goes on to tell us why there was silence. "Then an angel with a gold incense burner came and stood at the altar, and a great amount of incense was given to him to mix with the prayers of God's people. The smoke of the incense mixed with the prayers of God's holy people ascended up to God." Basically, we're seeing here that in amongst all of the noise, there is half an hour of silence. And in that half hour of silence, we're told that the prayers of God's people rise up to him. In that moment when God's children cry out to him in prayer, God seems to say to the million angels, he says, "Shush." He says to the 24 elders, "Be quiet. Heaven, be silent. I can hear my child crying out to me. I can hear my children. Everyone, stop. My son needs me. My daughter needs me." See, this is a picture of what happens when we pray. Heaven falls silent and God listens to his children. There's a pastor called Timothy Keller. He sums up beautifully. He says, the only person who would dare to wake a king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is his child. We have that kind of access. See, Christ says, because we are children of the King, because we are children of the God of heaven, Christ says with complete confidence, when you ask for your daily bread, you will be heard. Your Father will answer. Christ is encouraging us to approach God with confidence. He's also encouraging us to approach him consistently. In Matthew 7, a reading for today, we're told to ask, to seek, and to knock. But apparently, it's written in the continuous present tense. So that means that we've to ask and keep on asking. We've to seek and keep on seeking. We've to knock and keep on knocking. So although it's understandable that some people, they pray occasionally to God in times of emergencies, but for us, prayer should be a regular thing. It should be built on a close, continuous relationship. I think that's why Jesus specifically tells us to ask for our daily bread. It's not our monthly bread, it's not our weekly bread, but every single day we rely on our Heavenly Father as a child does. Some of us may think of God's people in the wilderness after having left Egypt under Moses. They had no idea how they were going to survive or what the future held for them. But each day, God sent bread for them to eat. He didn't send a big batch of food for them to see them through. No, he gave them enough for each day, and it didn't keep. So they couldn't collect it and save it for another day. They couldn't even save some for the following day, never mind the weeks to come. Although I'm sure they would have preferred that. I'm sure that they'd have liked to collect as much as they could together so they wouldn't have to be reliant on God's provision, so that they could be in control again. We've seen a similar thing happening recently, haven't we? We've seen that same tendency. People stocking up large amounts of food and essentials because they're not sure what the future holds. They're not sure if tomorrow will be provided for. But that's not how God wants us to approach him. We've not to say, give us so much that we never have to bother you again. But we've to keep coming back to him, reliant upon him. See, faith is not a one-off download that happens when you become a Christian. It's a step by step. It's one day at a time also. And in this way, our prayer lives, they really hold up a mirror to us. And they reveal how reliant we truly think we are on God. They hold up a mirror to us to show us how proud we really are. How much do we really think we need God? How often do we really need to come to him? Christ says, keep coming back to the Father because you are reliant upon him every day. Come and thank him for what he's done and place the coming day into his hands. Consistently come before God in prayer. Be persistent. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. The preacher Charles Spurgeon, he lived long before baby monitors, so he didn't use that illustration, but he said, prayer is like pulling a rope. You pull it below and the great bell rings above in the ears of God. Some people, they scarcely stir the bell, he says. Others give it an occasional pluck. But he who wins with heaven is the man who grasps the rope boldly and pulls continuously with all his might. See, we've to come to God like that. We've to come consistently like children, excited for some good thing. Mum, Dad, how many days is it until Christmas now? Mum, Dad, when are we going to go on holiday? Mum, Dad, can we get a puppy? Can we get a puppy? Can we get a puppy? Dad, is today the day? All the while, hopefully, remembering that they can trust their parents. See, we have to remember that God is a perfect Father, and he will give us what is perfect for us. And he will give it to us in the perfect way, and he'll give it to us at the perfect time. See, this is where this passage is pointing us in Matthew chapter 7. It's ultimately pointing us to this idea that if a child asks for bread, the parent isn't going to give them a stone. If the child asks for a fish, the parent isn't going to give them a snake. Even flawed, broken, evil parents, they know how to give good gifts to their children. And then it says in verse 11, how much more will your Father give his children good things? See, what we receive from our Heavenly Father is good. James chapter 1, it talks about it. It says, every single good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from our Father. You see, he wants to give his children the perfect things at the perfect time, and only he is able to do that. We're going to look in a couple of weeks at the idea of unanswered prayer. But just now, it's worth bearing in mind something that we actually all know. A parent giving a child good things is not always the same as a parent giving a child exactly what the child has asked for. See, Jesus here, he's not endorsing some kind of vending machine prayer. He's encouraging prayer to a father. Again, Timothy Keller, that pastor, he uses a comparison that I found helpful. The comparison of a child who has a parent who loves him compared with a child who has a genie who will obey him. Which of these two children would end up being more blessed? Imagine a six-year-old finding Aladdin's lamp. I would run for cover. Imagine what a six-year-old might wish for. Imagine how damaging it would be for that child to get everything that they want. A child having a genie who will respond to the request by giving them exactly what they want, that might give them some temporary happiness. But then compare that with a child who has a parent who will respond to their request by giving them what is actually best for them. That results in lasting joy. Because the parent won't just give the child what they've asked for, but they will give the child what the child would have asked for if the child knew everything that the parent knows, if the child understood the bigger picture, the bigger perspective in the way that the parent understands it. And so it is with God. In just that way, we have a heavenly Father with a perspective and wisdom so much greater than our own. And we can come to him and we can ask him for what we need. And he'll not only hear us, he'll not only respond to us, but he will respond in the perfect way and at the perfect time. He's not a reckless father. He's not a spoiling father. He is the perfect father. That's my favorite part of this topic. These three words that are in verse 11, you might not have noticed them, but it says, how much more? You see, through the Gospels, Christ gives lots of illustrations about prayer. He talks about this uninterested neighbor who you have to keep on disturbing. Or he talks about this uncaring judge who you have to keep on nagging. And Christ isn't saying that God is like that neighbor or God is like that judge. He's saying that even if people will respond positively to requests, how much more will your heavenly Father who loves you, how much more will he respond positively to you? See, in that Old Testament reading that Rosie read for us, a nursing mother, it says, would never forget her child. How much more will I remember you? In our New Testament reading, it talks about you parents, you know how to give good gifts to your children when they ask, how much more will your heavenly Father give to his children? See, we can think, this means that we can think of the best parent that we've ever met. And we can remember this passage. And we can know that there has never been a parent who has wanted joy for their child as much as God wants joy for you. Prayer is not about having to twist God's arm. He wants the best for us. He delights to give us what we need. He loves to meet with us when we pray. He loves us to share our hearts and our needs with him. He loves to listen to our cry for help and then to respond. He loves to provide for us, to give us what we need each day. After the Korean War, there was a huge number of children who were orphaned. Many orphanages were set up for them in South Korea, where they were looked after and they were cared for. But for multiple reasons, the staff there found that the children had a lot of trouble sleeping. They were restless and they were anxious at night. And when the staff asked the children what was wrong, they found that the main worry that the children had was that despite the fact that they were now receiving three meals a day in the orphanage, at night the children were worried that there wouldn't be any food for them the next day. So one particular orphanage, each night when they were putting the children to bed, they would give each child a slice of bread. And it was bread not to be eaten necessarily, but just to hold on to as the children slept, just to comfort them and to remind them that they were provided for the next day. And sure enough, this calmed the children's anxieties, and it helped them to sleep. And in just that same way, God wants each one of us to know that we are provided for, that he will give us our daily bread. He wants us to know that we are heard and we're loved by our Heavenly Father who delights in providing for us. In closing, I just wanted to read from Psalm 34. Psalm 34, it says this, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delighted me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round those who fear him and delivers them. So taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's pray together. And as we pray, we're also going to say the Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that we can approach you as a father. We thank you that you love us, that you care for us, that you provide for us. Father, help us to come to you each day, worshiping you and sharing our hearts with you. And Father, would you help us to pray in the manner that you taught your disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.